listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. Your friendly psychologist, sometimes. Hope you're having a great day. Why don't you make it more so and stay tuned today, because I have a wonderful guest on my show. You know her. I've been leading up to it. I've been kind of saying last week, we've got a surprise. We've got a surprise. No more surprises. And right here on LA Talk Radio, if you would like to give us a call live on the air, you always can do so. And that number is 323-203-0815. It's 323-203-0815. And that's, of course, if you'd like to speak to me or my guest. And she has a show right here on LA Talk Radio on Sundays from 2 to 3. Candace Keita. Hey, girl.
Hey, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
Once more, I didn't hit your mic. There you go. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Dr. Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. It's so nice to see you. It's so nice we can finally kind of be together here together.
I know, because we always see each other in passing.
That's right, we do. We're passing in the studios.
We're passing studios for like, you know, 5 seconds
that's
at
right.
a time. We have very short conversations and off we go. So it's
I
a good
know.
Time that we have a nice hour to talk and chat.
It is, and I listen to your show and I love it.
Oh, awesome.
It's
Thank
Hottie
you so much.
Help. It is Hottie Help. But of course, Hottie Help is about everything for women.
Uh-huh.
So maybe talk a little bit more about your show right here on LA Talk Radio between 2 and 3 on Sundays. What do you talk about?
Sure. Yeah, we broadcast live 2 to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And Hottie Help is basically a women's safety show. Each week we bring on a brand new guest and we talk about one specific aspect of women's safety. For example, we talk about like travel safety one week. You know, when women go traveling,
right.
how to keep themselves safe in the airport, or if you're in a hotel by yourself, or say you're going to a business conference and dealing with a lot of people that you've never met before.
Right.
And so, you know, we pick different topics each week. It's a live call-in show. We have great, interesting callers that call in. You never know what's going to happen here at LA Talk Radio. And so we just really have a wonderful time. We try to make safety fun, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. and interesting for everybody. Safety sometimes can be, people think of it as like a heavy topic.
Right.
But, you know, we really try to make it lighthearted. And so people will enjoy tuning in each week.
It's a great topic. I mean, it really is. Something that I don't think is really put out there enough in the media to help, you know, women. I mean, come on, let's face it. Women usually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I see couples a lot of times in my practice and, you know, there is abuse on the guy. I mean, women do pummel on men
yeah,
and they fight.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know,
definitely.
But the majority of attacks or stalking or issues come, you know, from men because, of course, they are stronger and faster and have more stamina.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we all watch those programs about women who kind of go in hiding about rapes and
uh-huh.
then they come out later, you know, some of those 48-hour programs
right.
and things like that, they come out later finally and they're able to talk freely because they don't feel scared anymore and they don't feel intimidated.
Well,
so.
Sure, a lot of people, I think, in inappropriate behavior cases,
right.
They fear the person that raped them, they
right.
fear their assailant, they fear their stalker,
right.
or what have you, and they're afraid to speak out.
For sure.
You know, even in domestic violence situations, they're afraid to speak out against, you know, their partner or what have you. So a lot of
right.
times, these crimes go unreported.
Right.
You know, or
right.
Rapes, because a lot of times the women, I think, are dragged through the mud through the court system.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
a lot of times the defense will say, you know, it's the red dress. You wore the wrong dress.
Right.
You know, you want
your
you
fault.
Wore, yes, it's your fault because you wore the wrong outfit.
Right.
Therefore, you know, he is not at blame. And the woman's character, I think, a lot of times is dragged through the mud. They'll try to find anything about this person in your past
right.
and bring it up. But of course, it has nothing to do. It does not pertain at all to the situation at hand.
Exactly.
But in those situations, you know, you have a jury of 12, you need a unanimous vote.
Right.
And so they're just trying to turn the opinion of one person on that jury and will do anything to do that.
Some kind of reasonable doubt that this woman may have enticed this person to attack her.
Exactly. It's just, so, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Very difficult.
Yeah, we talk about inappropriate behavior on the show. And we always say that the term hottie, because the show is a hottie, is hottie help.
Yeah.
It refers to any woman of any age that wants to learn about safety.
Exactly. And you've written your new book here.
Yes.
And it's called The Hottie Handbook, A Girl's Guide to Safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily what you are talking about a lot on your show. But this really lays it out. So
yeah.
Let me first ask you this. What made you decide to write this book? I'm really curious.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. By trade, I'm an actor.
Uh-huh.
And I've been an actor for a very long time. And being an actor, you get appropriate, you know, great attention, and it's wonderful.
Right.
But the flip side of that, that I think a lot of people don't know, it's kind of the dark side of this profession, is you get inappropriate attention.
Right.
And because I've been an actor, I've had inappropriate attention. And then I started speaking to friends and girlfriends and people that weren't necessarily actors, but were also in the public eye, people that were like newscasters and people that are political figures or sports figures or people that are married to sports figures. And I found that so many other people had experienced the same thing that I had, that I started collecting stories. And if you look at the book, there are lists of top 10 lists on safety.
Uh-huh.
But also, I sandwich in, because I gave you a copy the other day.
Yep.
If you see in italics, I sandwich in real life stories from real life women. Now, these women were not just actresses and models. I also interviewed, you know, housewives and school teachers.
Yes.
And just, you know, everyday women. Because contrary to popular thought, the majority of people that do get stalked or harassed are everyday ladies. The lady that works at the bank or, you know, the lady that does your carpool. Just, you know, people that you would see in everyday life have had this experience as well.
Right. Out in the, I mean, you don't have to be a beautiful actress like you, but I mean, out in the public, just people out in the public eye, you may attract the attention of someone and some guy gets fixed on you or something and wants to stalk you or follow you or find out more information about you, or they get comfortable with you as their teller in the bank.
Exactly.
And so it's, you know, you don't know. And it's, you know, it's, what's really difficult for me when I'm working with patients is to advise them to not get paranoid, you know, because I have people with, they get anxious. They feel
anxiety,
you know, anxiety over, ew, that this guy keeps coming in and talk to me, or this guy, you know, I'm uncomfortable with this, or I've had a bad experience when I was younger and now I'm paranoid. I'm always looking out for somebody. So I'm always trying to find the line for them not to get paranoid, but just kind of keep aware of their surroundings or keep aware of what's going on out there.
Right. I think that's a great thing to tell people, because that's basically what the book is about.
Uh-huh.
And actually also what the show is about. We just try to raise people's sensory awareness. Like, for example, if you're in the parking lot and you're coming from the mall and the mall closed and the sun went down and you're by yourself.
Right.
You know, just be aware, like have your keys in your hand, out of your purse before you exit the mall.
Right.
You know, so they're right there. So you go straight to your car. Remember where your car is parked. You know, I mean, that sounds crazy,
but people forget.
And so you're not wandering around the park, you know, in the mall in the middle of the night. And to get into your car quickly and shut the door and go on your way and don't fiddle in the car. We tell people, you know, really practical, everyday tips on how to stay safe. And so you're not, like you said, you're not paranoid, but you're aware.
Right, exactly. You know, there's a lot of those stories going around on the internet. You get all those things from friends.
I get those.
A friend of mine was at a gas station, and they left their car keys. You know, it was a quick in-and-out station. They left their car keys in the car. Or, so you know what I'm saying? Somebody was
laying
under the car and grabbed their ankles. And it's like, oh, now you're really paranoid. You
That's
know, you're
so
looking
funny.
Around.
That's the one I was thinking of,
when
you're at the gas station and you're pumping gas, and somebody somehow, don't ask me how, hid underneath your car, and so then they grab your ankles and they yank you under the car. And what is the point of that?
Right. Exactly.
It's like top 10 things to be aware of in parking lots. Yeah, it's so insane.
Go.
I mean, that's to the extreme.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
yeah.
And we make fun of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, but we use real life case examples, every single example in there.
Yes.
I changed the names for anonymity's sake.
Of course.
For privacy.
Sure.
But I spoke to women over 2 years.
Yes.
I spoke to different women over 2 years, got their stories, asked if I could use
them,
condensed them down. Yeah, and all of them are like different, just strange situations like you would never imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
This one woman that I met, she is an actress and a model.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, really tall lady, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was living in an apartment complex, and one time a man knocked on the door, and she didn't open it, and she said, you know, may I help you?
Yeah.
Through the door, and he said, I'm really sorry about what happened yesterday. I'd like to come and apologize.
Ew.
Yeah, and she said, I'm sorry? And he goes, yeah, I'm really sorry. I want to apologize. And so she said, like a dummy, she goes, because I didn't understand what he was saying, mm-hmm, she goes, mm-hmm, I opened the door. So he used a ploy.
Right.
Because she didn't understand what he was talking about.
Right.
She opened the door. He lunged at the door tried to get in the door, but she's a tall gal, and she slammed the door shut and locked it. Yeah,
great.
And she was able to call the manager, and by the time the manager came out, he was gone out of the complex, but still.
He'd followed her or something. I wonder if he knew her.
Yeah, I think he watched her. So,
right.
You know, because the person that she was living with was out of town at the time.
Right.
Oh, so you never know.
You never know.
Right.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle, and we're on the couch here today with Candace Keita, and she also is the host of her own show here on LA Talk Radio every Sunday at 2 p.m., and it's called Hottie Help, and it's for every woman who needs help, you know, with either being careful out there in the world, and she's written her book, The Hottie Handbook, A Girl's Guide to Safety, and that's what we're talking about right now, too. And if you have any stories you'd like to share with us, gosh, we'd love to hear it, right?
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear some of your stories of feeling unsafe or possible stalking incidents or, you know, possibly being attacked by someone, 323-203-0815. And it's not necessarily for the sensationalism. It's for the, you know, knowledge to learn that this does happen, not to make you all paranoid out there. But we do have to be aware of things that are going on. And whether it's, as Candace says in her book, dating safety, travel safety, surfing the internet, blind dates, dorm room safety, campus safety. I mean, it's all in here, and they're real stories, which I love, because
right,
you really put it out there and shared real life incidents that have happened.
Right. And, you know, so, I'd like to thank the women,
yeah,
too, because
mm-hmm,
they really, I think sometimes a lot of people that have had something happen to them, they're very mm-hmm hesitant and
right
scared to talk about it. You and I had talked about that
sure
earlier today. And so I really do appreciate the fact that these women chose to come forward, talk about their stories candidly to me, and allow me to use them in the book to help other women. And say, you know, this happened to me. I would have never thought that it would happen to me. I feel like I was just a normal everyday guy going, woman going about my day. So if it can happen to me, you know, it could happen to anybody else. So you have to be aware.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
So can you share with us some of the stories in your book that you think were really incredibly interesting, and maybe how the women got out of their situations or what had happened to them? Some of the most interesting stories?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take this one's not so much a dramatic story,
uh-huh, uh-huh,
but I think it's a very common story. And this woman told me this story, and it's so funny but so true. She was at the Golden Gate Bridge, and I guess there is a park that's there.
Right.
And she was so excited,
right,
having never been there before, that she hopped out of her car. She had a window rolled down because it was a hot day.
Right.
And she was gone. She said she was gone for 5 minutes.
Yikes.
To take a look and take photos, and
mm-hmm,
came back, and
mm-hmm,
everything was stolen out of her car. And so I always tell women, it's like in that little split second when you're not thinking, you don't think that anybody's going to do anything, that you have to really think that they might, because we all assume, because we won't do it,
right,
that we're thinking, oh, nobody else is thinking that,
yeah,
either. But I mean, think about it. If you're in a high tourist area,
right,
there are people that are going to be preying upon tourists,
right,
you know, waiting for an opportunity. And let's face it, if you give them an opportunity, it's like, please, you know, please rob me. It's like handing
exactly
it to them. It doesn't justify what they're doing. What
right
they're doing is still wrong.
Right, right.
However, it's like you're giving them an open door. And so I always tell women, please, even if you're
mm-hmm
at the gas station and you want to go in and pay,
mm-hmm,
and you leave your window or your door unlocked, and you go from your car to the gas station
mm-hmm
to pay them back, things can happen. I talked to another woman that happened. She left her purse in the car, went to go pay, came back, and it was gone. And I hate to say it, but it's like you should have known better.
Right.
You know, you need to take responsibility. You know, you need to take responsibility for your own safety and for the safety of your own belongings. And think about it, ladies.
Right.
Think about it.
Yes.
You know.
And of course, the follow-up to the lady at the Golden Gate Bridge area, where that beautiful lookout is.
Right.
I know exactly where that is.
Me too.
And, the best. Or the friend or the woman who you wrote about at the gas station. The follow-up is they have your address. They have everything about you. And it's not even the credit cards. Fine, we can cancel those. But everything now. They have your personal information. They probably have your social security number. They can do identity theft or sell it to somebody. And then, of course, follow you home and find valuable information in there about you. So
absolutely.
That's scary
you
stuff.
Know, and that's interesting that you brought that up, Dr. Michelle, because that's another thing that I wanted to talk about as far as safety in your car is concerned. Your personal information. So many people I see they get their mail.
Right.
And they just drop it on the shotgun side of your car.
Right.
And all your personal information is faced up. Sometimes people open bills up and then they leave the bills right there. So all your bill information is there. You really have to be careful with your personal information in your car. There is a VIN number on the driver's seat dash, a VIN, which is vehicle identification number. Mm-hmm. Now, people who it's in every single car, and you can take that number and run the number and get all the information off of who the owner is, who the car is, you know, registered to, all that, and the address. Now, that is there for a reason. I understand when you're getting your car fixed or whatever, they may need the vehicle identification number. However, for everyday ladies, I take just a simple piece of paper, and I just put it right over the VIN. Because nobody
else...
That's
a great idea.
Yes, and nobody else needs to see your VIN number.
Right.
And then you just remove it when you go to the auto shop or what have you. Because, you know, once again, we don't normally think the way people that are going to rob you or predators or what have you are going to do. So that's another thing. And I would also say for women that are in the entertainment industry, we have headshots and resumes that we carry with us all the time. And we also have portfolios.
That's
A lot of times on the portfolio, your name is on it. So I would always say, you know, be careful with that information too. I usually, if I have it in the car, I cover it up with a sweatshirt, or I cover it up.
No,
with
it's great.
Yeah, and just put it in the car and cover it up just to be on the safe side, because you don't know. I've had people that have actually, this is my own personal story, of being getting my mail and having somebody wait at the car after having seen me go to the box and back, and then looking in the window to see
creepy.
If there's any. Yeah, and so, you know, you just never know what somebody would do.
You never do, and especially in cities.
Right.
And I don't, you know, like major metropolitan cities, everybody in L.A., who I speak with, there's always something to do. They're always running. They're always, you know, you've got to get on the freeway early to get around Los Angeles. You're sitting there. You're always running. You're always on the cell phone. You're always on the computer. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we're so defocused and living our lives and trying to take care of business and trying to secure some kind of decent relationships in our lives, you know, around the business, we just don't think about stuff. I mean, we are hopping from one place to the other. Yeah, leave the car in the regular place. Yeah, do this, leave the stuff, like you said, on the front seat, on the shotgun seat. Run into a place, don't look around you. It's just, it's crazy in metropolitan cities because we feel so isolated. You know, and we feel so, we're defocused, and we're in crowds, especially New York City. Oh, forget about New York City. We're in crowds, and we don't really tend to look around us because we feel so, I don't know, invisible,
well,
you know, sometimes.
And also, I mean, that brings up a good point, because when you're talking about mental focus, we're so busy and saturated that we're there, but we're not there.
Right.
We're physically there, and we're going through the motions, but at the same time, our mind is thinking two steps ahead. After this, I have to go pick up the dry cleaning, and after the dry cleaning, I've got to get to here and go to the library or what have you. And so we're not really aware, and I think that people that are going to prey on people to either rob them or what have you are looking for people that look preoccupied, and that's another thing that I could tell women out there, is to make sure that you really have your wits about you, and you look like you have your wits about you, that you're not somebody that somebody can easily prey upon. You know, that you walk with attitude, you walk with strength, you go from one point to the other, and you look extremely focused and not like you're, you know, ditzy and out in space, because I think those are the people that are going to get chosen or picked on.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And probably your second book will be self-defense mechanism. You know, really, truly. self-defense.
Actually, I have talked to my book agent, and they have two ideas for two other books on women's safety that are coming up. But, I mean, that is a great suggestion. I have two other ones that I can't really speak about.
Sure.
We have the title for one, and we have the subject matter for both. And one of them is a logical outshoot of this book.
Right.
So, and they're giving me a deadline to get that done. So I have my work cut out ahead of me. But, yeah, it's amazing how many points on safety that, you know, I've been able to find, and we can number crunch them and put them easily for people to just, you know, easily digest and
right.
understand.
Exactly. And I do always suggest to women, you know, to take some kind of self-defense course. I did.
Oh, did you?
I did.
What did you take?
Years. I took Taekwondo.
Oh, awesome.
So for years, I was involved in the study, and I was so lucky to get a really cool master.
Uh-huh.
And he's a ninth. Up. He's ninth level black belt.
Wow.
He's amazing. He taught the Korean Air Force.
My.
So
goodness.
He's an amazing Master Oh.
Master Oh.
Moon Moo Taekwondo. Little plug Ola for you out there. And so he really works with a lot of women.
Uh-huh.
And got to a black belt status. I'm first
oh,
got black
really?
Belt. So
that's
you know,
awesome.
I learned I
How
can
many
kick
years
butt.
Did you
I did about 4 years.
Oh, that's terrific.
Took about 4 years. So, yeah.
So how do you feel like that helped you as far as, was it your attitude
yes.
and, you know, just the way you carry yourself?
Yes. When
confidence?
You were talking, that's what cued me to think of that. And Master O always said you keep your Taekwondo spirit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something out of a Karate Kid movie, but truly, you keep the spirit. You walk the walk. You have a strong walk.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way that you look. You have a you know, like a glance at people. You have a strong walk. You present yourself, you know, when you walk differently
mm-hmm.
than if you didn't have the spirit going on within you of being alert and aware around you.
Right.
And it sounds so corny and
no,
it sounds very paranoid.
No. It makes sense. And it sounds, to me, it sounds really positive because it's
right.
more like you are carrying, even I mean, I hate to use the word aura,
yeah.
but
yeah.
even, you know, an aura or yeah. a feeling about you that you really know what's what.
Exactly. When I lived in San Francisco, we were talking about the Golden Gate Bridge for about 4 years. And uh-huh. I was walking home from work. I worked very close to where I live.
Uh-huh.
And you walk in San Francisco.
Sure.
I mean,
I
like New York.
Like New York,
you know?
Yeah.
So I was literally grabbed from behind out in
wow.
the middle of a street.
Did you
a
see
main
the,
street.
Did you see the person at all?
Did not see him.
Mm-hmm.
I was carrying a picture a picture for the wall that I had just purchased and my purse.
Uh-huh.
And he literally came and grabbed me from behind
uh-huh.
and started dragging me.
Wow.
He wasn't that big of a guy, and I'm tall. I'm a big person, and I screamed and just kicked him. But if I had had the doyo chuggy, which is a side kick into the gut,
uh-huh.
you know, knowledge, he would have been down.
Right.
But I ran away, got into a secure building, and called the police and all that stuff, and sort of got a description. But he got out of there really fast. But, you know, it's kind of those experiences which really help you, you know, say, oh, this is not happening again. And also have had stalking situations, too, that I just took care of,
uh-huh.
you know. So, but, I mean, it's sort of, you know, it's a mental attitude, which you, you know, talk about, too, in your book, of just being, having strength and having self, I don't know, like, you don't walk, you know, hanging over, your shoulders are down, or you walk with strength, you look around you, you have an attitude, you know.
Right,
so,
absolutely. But, you know, at the same time, I do want to say this as far as, like, getting physical and martial arts and having
yes.
to defend yourself. I recently did an interview, and there was a comment section, and they wanted me to demonstrate 3 quick martial arts tips
uh-huh.
on how to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. It's actually for the new Jay Leno show. And
very
so,
nice.
Yeah, so it was really cool, and I got to show 3 quick tips.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but one person said, you know, it's a very dangerous thing to do. And so we commented back and said, you know, these should be used as a last alternative
right.
only. Obviously,
right.
it's not like you want to go out and, you know, beat
right.
somebody up.
Exactly.
It's just that, you know, if you are cornered, if you are stuck, if there's no other way out, if you cannot run or talk your way out of a situation, or somehow escape from somebody who is doing this to you, then as a last result, what else are you going to do?
It's
true.
You
have no alternative. You know, if you're stuck in an elevator with somebody,
right.
you know, which I actually interviewed a woman who was an actress and went into an elevator for an audition and was attacked by somebody
oh my God.
In the elevator. But she said she fought him off.
Good.
You know,
that's
but
great.
She
yeah.
did not expect it.
Right, right.
You know, she got into the elevator, you know, pushed the button, what have you. I have an entire section
wow.
that is in the book devoted to elevators, such as ones that are in hotels
right.
or in build, just regular office buildings
mm-hmm.
for work office safety,
mm-hmm.
And telling you what to do with an elevator, and an elevator versus the stairs, you know, what to do when you're, you know, at work after hours or what
right.
have you.
Right. That's
but,
great.
Yeah, but I always tell people,
yeah.
you know, the things that I demonstrated on the Leno show, they wanted me to demonstrate martial
right.
arts techniques. Therefore, I did. The majority of my book, however, is all about things that are in your head.
Right.
Safety tips that you can take with you. And there's no way that you're going to memorize everything. It's impossible. It's not like tenets of the Bible or
mm-hmm.
what have you. But what we say, but we say is if you can, you know, have these in your mind and take a couple with you
mm-hmm.
and just remember, oh, I'm traveling,
mm-hmm.
you know, oh,
exactly.
I just remembered a couple of things, you
right.
know, that she had said. That's all that matters. And
that's
right. what really counts, just to be able to apply a few to your daily life.
It's a great idea, too. It's a handbook. That means you take it with you. And if you go out into the public, or you can have it in your purse or your briefcase or whatever. And you, like you said, you do travel or whatever. If you're just kind of check it out.
Exactly.
So you can't, you know, if you can't remember, ooh, what should I do? I'm going to be whatever. I love the thing about the dating safety and the blind dates.
Because oh, sure.
I have clients who are single, and
uh-huh.
they meet people online,
uh-huh.
and they've been talking with them for quite a while
mm-hmm.
online,
mm-hmm.
and they've got their profile. They've really been communicating, so they're feeling safe enough to meet them for coffee
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
I always say, no
yeah.
matter what, unless you meet somebody face-to-face, you
right.
have not really met them.
And
also, when you meet somebody for the very first time, I always say, you're not meeting them. You're meeting their publicist.
Because that's right.
It is very true. You that's are true. Meeting, you know, the best possible situation. They want you to like them.
Right.
And so they're putting on their best face forward, as most people do anyways. But especially in, you know, internet dating, blind dating situations. Blind dating, you may meet somebody through a friend, so it's perhaps more credible.
Right.
However, meeting somebody off the internet, you really don't know them from Adam.
Yeah.
You know, and also you have to realize that some people on their profiles are either, you know, not putting accurate pictures of what they really look like.
Yeah.
And they could be, you know, 10 years older or what have you.
Right.
They could be,
right.
you know, embellishing a lot. You really don't know them, their job, what they're doing, you know, who they are. And then also, likewise, I say for women, if you're going to put up a profile, to always, you know, never put anything on that profile that you don't want everybody to see.
Right.
Because
right.
people don't realize the power of the internet.
Oh boy. Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, don't,
exactly.
Yeah, never embed your personal email into it. Use the email,
right.
you know, that is with the website.
Right.
Because they'll give you an email there and
exactly.
use that. Never put
exactly.
out your, you know, where you live.
Exactly.
Yeah, and some women, it's amazing. We call them hottie help mistakes.
Okay.
And every single week on the radio show, we talk about mistakes that we find from random women on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. We
right.
call them out each week, and we
right.
have found people's, you know, Facebooks, and they'll put, oh, my phone number just changed.
Oh,
my
boy.
New phone number is.
Oh, God.
They will put it there.
Yikes.
You know, here
right.
I am with my two children, their names, their photo,
right.
who attend, you know, Fallbrook, blah, 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 elementary
yes.
school.
Yes.
I mean, it is the
not
most.
Not safe.
It's not safe at all.
Mm.
And when you put a profile up, you know, when you talk about your line of work, I
right.
would say, you know, I am in retail sales. Do not say, you know, I work at the counter at Macy's
right.
at this mall, because
right.
you will get unexpected visitors.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Absolutely.
You know? And talking about stories in the book,
uh-huh.
there was a woman that she lived next door to a very popular restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And so she had posted somewhere that she lived next to this popular restaurant.
Uh-oh.
And then she had people coming to where she lived because she was next
Uh-oh.
Door to this popular restaurant.
Oh,
so
God.
Don't say things like that.
Right. You have to be very guarded about your personal life, basically. I mean, you can talk about your interests and, you know, talk a little bit about your profile, who you are and all that. So I think you're right. Because
right.
you never know who
well,
these people are, and you never know who's going to get a hold of it.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
now, what do you – I'm just curious.
Uh-huh.
I ask a lot
yeah.
of people this on the show. What do you have online? Do you have, like, a Twitter? Do you have a Facebook? Do you have a website? And what type of information do you post?
My Facebook?
Yes.
It's all about Dr. Michelle. It's
right.
all about relationship help,
mm-hmm.
Individual therapy, group
mm-hmm.
therapy that I do.
Uh-huh.
It, you know, talks about my website. It talks about LA Talk Radio Show. And
right.
I've been doing a series for Webby Health, which is a health medical network where I give advice about self-esteem, relationships, things like that. So, I mean, that's basically what it's about. It's about information where people can learn about, you know, what Dr. Michelle can do to help them. You
right.
know? So that's basically what I do.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so,
see, I always say that's
And you
good.
Too, Candace. How
well,
about yours?
See, what? Same with mine is because I always tell people because of the radio show, we decided to do an experiment. Yeah. And we have a Facebook. But it's not run by me.
Uh-huh.
It's run by this man that runs it for us.
Uh-huh.
And I never post personal information, and
right.
that seems to be yours as well. I post, you know, work-related information, radio information, mm-hmm. interview information, mm-hmm. but I never, ever talk about, you know, my personal life.
Right.
Do you have a Twitter account?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm not Twittering.
Okay.
I'm actually decided not to Twitter.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a great
yeah.
decision if you
yeah.
do or you don't. It's a personal thing.
It's a little, for me... And maybe I'm just, I just feel a little too, like it could be a little too invasive sometimes. So
sure,
I'm a little paranoid.
Absolutely. Some people that
yeah,
Twitter
yeah.
where their life
yeah.
is an open book,
right.
that is their choice, and that's fine. We have a Twitter account, and once again, you know,
right.
my publicist runs it.
Exactly.
And it clearly states that. But it does talk about, you know, work-related stuff, what project I'm working on,
sure.
you know, links to
it's
things
more
that
protected.
You can see.
Exactly.
Right.
Just informational.
Informational.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
so I tell women, you know, it's your choice as to what you
right.
do. But, you know, please be careful with your information and realize that, and a lot of people just don't think this way, once again, because it's
right.
not the way that we normally think, but it's like everybody can see the information that is out there. So be really, really careful
it's
about,
true.
Yeah, because
yeah.
people can use it either against you
mm-hmm.
or they could, use it to find you if they
yeah.
want to.
And I've heard some horror stories, too, about, you know, women who've gone online to meet guys on, you know, singles services.
Right.
And, you know, of course, we've all heard the horror stories of the guy said who he was, and he really wasn't that, and he had a past criminal record. And
oh,
he,
no.
You know, I mean, stuff like that. It's
yeah.
like, oh, my God, when you really find out more and more and more and you start getting little clues, they keep dating these people, and then it gets creepy. So,
uh-huh.
so you know, it's just to be careful. Guys, if you just turned in, you're listening to LA Talk Radio, and you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, and I'm interviewing one of our other hosts here on LA Talk Radio, Candace Keita. And she's here every Sunday from 2 to 3 with
uh-huh.
the Hottie Help Show.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about her new book and lots of other stuff, too. And you're welcome to call in if you like at 323-203-0815. But we're talking about the Hottie Handbook, A Girl's Guide to Safety, which is all about taking care of yourself, women, in any situation. And Candace has spelled it all out for you. Travel safety, dating safety, anywhere you're at, dorm room, getting your first apartment, work safety, how you
mm-hmm.
protect yourselves. We were talking about some of the other stories that you talk about in the book or any other stories outside the book that you'd like to share that were
sure.
kind of really, really interesting and possibly, you know, something that women should be aware of, whatever situation it was, dating or
sure.
campus.
Well, actually, real quick,
or,
I wanted to talk
yeah.
about also, because I had just thought of something
yeah.
when you were saying that.
Sure.
Another demographic that I want to write about is senior women.
Yeah.
Senior hotties.
Right.
Because I think that, because we were talking about blind dating and internet
right.
and all that, there are many women out there that after, you know, 30 years or so of
right.
being married are either widowed or, you know,
yeah.
something happens, and they're seniors, and it's a different
yeah.
time of life. But they may also at one point decide to get out there again and, you know, want to date and, you know, go on with their life. And I think it's a very exciting time for some women. It's very interesting, and it's a great time. But
yes.
also... it's a time to be safe, and a lot of women at that age do not understand, like, internet dating. It is a completely different and new concept to them.
Yes.
You know, because I know some older women and the iPod and all that. It's just, you know, it's just the Kindle, and
right,
it's just
right, right.
a completely new
right,
thing.
Right.
Even texting
yeah.
is a new thing for them. And so, you know, I do want to write about that and tell women, you know, this is how, if you want to internet date,
mm-hmm.
How to do it safely,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to get back out there and just mingle and meet new people after kind of raising children and, you know, doing the mom thing for 30 years.
Right.
And just kind of being out of the swing of things.
Exactly.
You know, I want to write.
It's hard to get back into it, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine
yeah.
that it might be. It's a whole different world
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
compared to, you know, 30 years ago, what have you, with new technology
right.
and new technocracy and how, you know, the world has changed. So that's what I wanted to just mention.
Oh, that's
that.
A great idea.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about that. But another story that I can think of that was, once again, that would kind of apply to everybody. It's not an extreme situation,
mm-hmm.
but this did happen to a young model that I know, and she told me that she had gone to New York, and she was shopping in a store, and she was trying on shoes, and a woman approached her. Mm-hmm. Now, we often think that, oh, it's a woman, so, you know, you let your guard down.
Right.
And she said, oh, those are amazing shoes. I love those shoes. Let me see you walk around in them. And so this young model that I know, she had her purse on the chair where she was trying on her shoes. She got up to walk around to show the shoes to this other woman. And what we talk about is sometimes people that are criminals work in tandem. And so the young woman was working with a man. And so when this girl got up to show the shoes, the man came out from nowhere and grabbed the purse and took off. And they were so taken by surprise and so shocked that they stood there in shock. The man ran down the street, and by the time they got their wits about them, it was way too late.
Right.
And the man and the women were both gone.
Oh,
so quickly.
Wow.
So you really have to, you know, even if it's a woman or if it's somebody that is telling you to do something that, you know, you really have to be aware. You should have, you know, carried your purse with you. Don't leave it on the seat. Even if it's, you know, just a little bit away from you, all it takes is a second.
Exactly. It really does.
Yeah, and that's kind of like an everyday story.
Yeah.
You know, I had an
here's a
story of that a young once again another young model told me, and she actually has come on the show and on the radio show, and it was one of the most candid shows that we had. We had so many people calling in saying that they were just so amazed. She came in and told the story, so you can find it in the archives. I'm not going to say who it is, but it is there.
Right.
And she was dating somebody for a very short amount of time. This is when she was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 2 weeks. And then noticed something, and I always say this, funny or strange about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell women to listen to their sixth sense.
Right.
You know, you have that sixth sense for a reason. It is something telling you that this there's something odd about this person, something weird. This person wants something from you. If you feel that, they do want something from you. It is as simple as that.
Right.
You know, it's something inappropriate and uncomfortable you can't put your finger on, but it is a red flag. And so she was feeling uncomfortable and red flags with this person. So after 2 weeks, she said, you know, I'm really sorry. I don't think things are working out. And she broke it off.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, she decided to date somebody else, which, you know, is fine. You're young and you're in college.
You're out there.
Yeah, and so she was dating somebody else. This man had apparently was watching her. So she pulled up onto the driveway, and this is what she talks about on the radio show. She pulled up into the driveway of her family's home with a new young man, and out of the blue she was getting out of the car, and the strange man came out and had a switchblade.
Oh my God.
Put her hand in an arm and a half Nelson and put the switchblade to her neck. And pulled her out of the car and was saying that he was going, threatening her.
Yes.
And so she was able to make enough noise. The man in the car, the poor young man in the car, was so shocked.
I bet.
I mean, just,
what did I get myself into?
Exactly. It was just sitting there.
Right.
So it was causing so much of a commotion that her father came out of the house and was able to stop the situation. And they immediately called the police, and she got one of the immediate restraining orders that you can get.
Good.
But she said that years after, she said, continually years after on her birthday, he would attempt to call the parents' house.
Oh, that's creepy.
To get a hold of her.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's an extreme situation.
It
and
is.
I don't
it really,
really know what she could have done.
No.
But I'll tell you, she, I think as a result, she is an actress and model that I know. She's ballsy. And she is somebody that does not take anything from anyone. And you feel it from her.
Yes.
You feel the strength from her. And I really think that a lot of it had to do probably with that one situation. And yeah, and she came on and it was just very, I mean, the way she tells it is so different than the way I kind of number crunched it for you.
Right.
I kind of condensed it for you.
No, it's interesting.
But it's just amazing the stories that we hear from people. You know, situations can happen from complete and total strangers, or situations can happen from people that you choose to allow into your life.
Exactly.
You know.
And when you talk about, you know, allowing into your life, like you said, first couple of dates, she started feeling, well, this is not really working. She had an intuition, you know, about it. And we don't want, what we don't want is for women to learn how to be strong and not take stuff from anybody from a really bad experience. We want them to be really strong beforehand so that they can, you know, be alert and aware of situations and some of the cues. Like you said, that's really, really important to pick up on their intuition.
Yeah.
To sort of get in touch with, there's something not right here. It doesn't feel right.
And you don't know necessarily what it is,
right?
But something is funny and
exactly.
Something is making you uncomfortable. And a lot of times, you know,
yeah.
I think that we as women have a tendency to ignore that.
Yeah, we do.
Because we don't want to judge a person.
Yeah.
And instead,
yeah.
What we do is we second guess ourselves. And I think that's one of the greatest mistakes that we can make.
Yeah.
I think that women, quite often, since childhood, we are conditioned to be kind and sweet and nice and polite and
yep.
Not cause a fuss, you know, and not stand up for ourselves because of that. And I think that we really need to recondition ourselves. It's okay to be rude on occasion.
Yeah.
You know, it is okay to be
yes.
Appropriately
right.
Forceful on occasion. Look somebody straight in the eye and say, leave me alone.
Right. I'm not comfortable. Just, I don't like how you're coming off to me, and please go away.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. And you never have to, you know, justify your refusal to anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that women a lot of times thinking, oh, well, you know, I just feel so bad.
Yes.
I don't want to hurt
right.
His feelings, or, you know, oh, I think that it'll go away, or he'll just stop, or what have you. Mm. You know, sometimes you really need to be forceful and say, no, this is inappropriate. Leave me alone. I am not interested. And no, hoping that now that you know this, you will go on with your life.
That's right. That's
you know?
Exactly right.
So
unfortunately, people who have, you know, issues and, you know, have a tendency to be antisocial, as we call them,
uh-huh.
You know, they'll turn that around and even have a more of an anger and a force. But hopefully
exactly.
that will do the job. And it is appropriate. It's really important that women learn how to do that.
That's a good point, because, you know, you don't really know how somebody is going to take rejection.
Right.
And it actually inflames them sometimes to bother you even more.
Yeah, it does. So like on the internet, when you're putting out Facebook information or, you know, your web page or whatever, if you're Twittering, it's always good to be very careful. It's always good to kind of have a handle on the kind of information you're putting out there personally.
Right.
And the same thing when you're dating. And when you're dating, we're talking about in your book too, just kind of dating and first getting to feel, getting to know people, getting, you know, I think it's important too, as you mentioned, to not give too much information yet.
You know,
you still
absolutely.
Have to. You want to give enough information so the person doesn't think you're a cold, strange person, but you want to have a lot of boundaries up just in case, you know, this person isn't, you know, really all there or possibly right for you and you don't want to continue the relationship, right?
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I would say, first off, for women, you know, don't on the first date invite them to pick you up at their house. At your house. I know that that's kind of an old 1950s thing where the man would come and
right,
pick the woman up
right.
at the house. Well, times have changed. Times have changed and our entire society has changed. I would advise that, you know, if you choose to meet somebody
right.
after, you know, speaking, you know, supposedly this is a blind date, hypothetically, you know, after speaking to them for a long time, you know, you get their information. And I would say, and I think for safety, you would get their name, their phone number, email, contact, or what have you, give it to a friend of yours or a family member
mm-hmm,
before you
mm-hmm,
go on this
mm-hmm.
date, and do not meet them at your house.
Yep.
It's important. Go to a public place that you are familiar with. And I would say, don't do dinner initially.
Right.
What's wrong with lunch or coffee?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Just, it's light. You know, it's not doesn't have the weight that I think night has.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
just make it a quick coffee thing, 15, 30 minutes or what
mm-hmm,
have you.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if you feel like you're liking this person more, have lunch with them or what
right.
have you.
Right.
You take your own car. You meet them. And if they make you uncomfortable, say goodbye there. Don't go back to your car
right.
so they can see your car. You know, there's little subtle things that you can do. You control the situation.
That's right. Exactly. You know, you see in all those movies and about having your girlfriend call and say, oh, my God, my grandmother's dying. Or, you know, right. Those situations
uh-huh.
where or if it's a really bad date, you have little cues for your friends to call in and say, oh, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness. At certain times. Or
exactly.
if the date's going well after 20 minutes, they'll call you anyway and you'll go, oh, sure. Well, yeah, uh-huh, great, I'll call you later. And that's the cue for everything's going well so far, and, you know.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know,
no.
There's another thing in the book that I talk about, and we call it Acting 101. And what it is if somebody is bothering you, say you're at, like, a train depot
right.
or you're, you know, at a bus depot
mm-hmm.
or you're at the airport, mm-hmm. and somebody has sat down next to you and they want to carry on a conversation for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason and they're
mm-hmm.
making you uncomfortable and you're traveling by yourself.
Right.
And so Acting 101 is you pick up your cell phone and you dial a number and you start talking, and then you say, oh, I'm sorry, I really have to go. So you continue your conversation on the phone,
right.
Get up and politely leave.
Right.
And so
right.
It doesn't, it's a polite way of getting out of the situation.
Yes,
and
yes.
And also because you don't want to inflame that other person. You
right.
don't want to be impolite, and
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
but you really just want to leave so you can get up, pretend like you're using the phone, and go sit someplace else.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great idea. No, I
yeah.
really like that. Using the phone as a tool.
Right.
Acting 101, fake calls.
Fake phone calls. Or
yes.
if you're in the airport, you know, simply get up, go to the restroom, and when you come back, don't sit next to that person.
Exactly.
You know, and then he's going to have to be really brazen if he gets up to get up and
mm-hmm.
move and sit next to you. So hopefully he won't do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and even on airplanes too, you know, we had a lady with a situation on an airplane that
right.
we interviewed in the book, and she said somebody was behaving inappropriately to her. So she just went to the back
right.
and she talked to the stewardess and they moved her.
Wow.
You know,
yeah,
no questions
yeah, exactly.
asked. They moved her with another male person. So,
mm-hmm.
so a male sat next to that man. So a lot of fun he probably had then, you know,
exactly.
with a guy sitting next to him for the rest of the flight. Just because you're in a flight does not mean that you are trapped
mm-hmm.
having to listen to somebody's,
mm-hmm.
you know, insanity for 5 hours.
Yes. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's you've been trapped before by people on an airplane, haven't you?
People
just
that drone
on. And you're just going, oh, God.
And they tell you their entire life
exactly.
and you don't really want
no,
to listen.
No, you don't want to. And you're, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another
woman actually. Yes. Another woman. Yeah. It's so crazy. Another
no.
woman that was interviewed, she said that she actually pretended to go to sleep.
Good.
Yes, on the airplane. And then the man actually said to her, oh, you know, are you pretending to sleep so you don't have to talk to me? So, yeah,
wow.
So I don't know what she did after that. But she
yeah,
said
and
that
what's she going to say, yes? I mean, that, you know, that takes a lot of
chutzpah. That we both said, yeah, a lot
yes.
of chutzpah.
No, because, again, you don't know who you're sitting next to. You're going to, no, I really am tired.
Yeah, and this is a very, very striking yeah. woman, so I can see how the man thought he must have just, you know,
that's pretty
he must
paranoid.
Have hit the lottery, you know, sitting next to this
right.
lady on the plane.
Right.
So,
oh
but she
goodness.
Was saying, yeah, she did that in order to just, you know, politely
exactly.
give him the hint that she does not want to talk for the next 5 hours.
That's right. That's right. I have a client. Actually, I haven't seen her for a while, but she's doing a lot better.
Good.
She used to have to take the train, which is we have a great
right.
train service.
Awesome train system in LA.
You know, in mm-hmm. LA to work. She decided, you know what, I'm not going to sit in the traffic. And it was right near the office where she works. It was perfect.
Uh-huh.
She'd get on near the LA airport.
Uh-huh.
And you know the train that I'm talking about going, I don't know, but if you all are listening in Los Angeles area, it's like on the Norwalk kind
sure,
of train.
Yeah,
yeah,
uh-huh,
it's a metro
uh-huh.
system. Anyway, she was going every day, certain time, did her train thing, looked
right.
good,
right.
got on it. It's like really cool, like the subway. And this guy she started noticing this guy who was on the train. And you do start noticing if you're taking
familiar
a train
faces,
to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy started coming up to her. There's like three times he started kind of finding her and sitting down next to her and getting
mm-hmm.
friendly with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was polite. She's a really sweet lady. She
sure.
was polite. And then he started taking more liberties every day, like talking, trying to get more personal information out of her.
Mm-hmm.
He was creepy. She was getting creepy vibes the very first time.
That's it, yeah.
Okay. And then he would find her and immediately sit down next to her. He
mm-hmm.
always, then he started finding her.
Right.
And he'd say, like they were, he imagined that they were special friends now
exactly.
because she was there every day. So he would start talking and she'd start bringing her book or have her little headphones with
right.
her iPod. And she'd say, I'm sorry, I have to focus. I'm sorry, I have to focus. Well, he started getting so intrusive. He put his arm around her one day and
oh,
she got
no.
up,
yeah.
jumped up and said, please do not do this. You're really scaring me.
Right.
And went to the back of the train. What happened was he waited a couple of weeks, came back, and really started stalking her on the train and started arguing with her. Why
sure.
are you avoiding me? And so she had to call security.
How
they
awful.
Came and took him off
away.
The train,
uh-huh.
took him away. So he's on a list. His picture's up.
Awesome.
And
that's good.
He's a stalker. You know,
which, yeah, the belligerence of
she
that,
she was
too.
So scared to go. She's going, well, maybe I should go on another train. Maybe I should, you know, go in a little later for work. Maybe. No, you shouldn't have to alter your schedule in order to avoid people out there in public. You
I know.
Who are creepy.
It's a drag. But, you know, one of the key words that you just said
mm-hmm.
that made me think is you said, oh, you know, she's a really nice lady. And that's a lot
exactly.
of it, I think, because if you are a nice woman
right.
and you're nice to everybody,
yeah.
I consider myself a nice person.
You are.
I'm friendly and nice to
you
everybody.
Are.
sometimes it is misinterpreted.
Yes.
It is misinterpreted by some people. And I read in this book on inappropriate behavior, and they said sometimes a morsel is a feast.
Yes.
To some.
It's perfect. That's really well put. We've got a couple of minutes left.
Oh, sure.
So I want to, you know, put out this information. Guys, if you just tuned in or if you've been listening for a while, you know we're talking to Candace Keita. She's the host of her own show here on LA Talk Radio on Sundays from 2 to 3 p.m., and it's Hottie Help, and she's also the author of the latest book, The Hottie Handbook. It's a girl's guide to safety. Pick it up so, girls, you can know how to protect yourself. Just things to look for in all situations out there, whether it be dating or traveling or getting into an elevator or a campus or getting an apartment. It's a really good book, and it has real-life situations in it as well. And Candace, can you talk about your charity really quickly? Because I want people to know what they can do to get involved.
Sure, absolutely. Okay. We have a charity called Hotties with a Heart Foundation. Mm-hmm. And what we do is bring women and men in the city of Los Angeles who want to donate their time to charity events throughout the greater Los Angeles area. Our next event is going to be November the 24th, where we're going to the Bob Hope USO at LAX.
Wow.
And we're going to be, welcoming. This is our second time to be invited. We're welcoming in the troops, and we're supporting the troops. There are going to be between 400 and 500 troops there that day.
Wow.
We're having a Thanksgiving dinner, and the mayor of Los Angeles is also going to be there. So if you're interested, just contact my Facebook. It's not me, but it will get to me.
Uh-huh.
And find out what you could do to share.
Great. Mm-hmm. And how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to get more information?
Sure. What is it? Is it talk at latalkradio.com?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So people can do that, and they can find out about the show. And also you can look and check the Facebook, because we really update and post every single day.
Perfect.
So please check there as well.
Great. Oh, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. So neat to finally spend time with you and talk to you. I know, it's such a great time. So cool.
So thank you again. It's Candace Keita. She's the host of our show here on LA Talk Radio on Sundays from 2 to 3, Hottie Help, and, of course, author of The Hottie Handbook. It's a great girl's guide to safety for all the women out there.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being here. It's great talking to you.
Likewise.
Everybody, I got to split. This is Dr. Michelle, and you can stay on the couch if you like. It's all good. All righty. I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. You can find me, by the way, on my website, drmichelletherapy.com. Go ahead, log on, find out what I'm about. And if you have questions, you can email me. Let me know what's going on. I'd love to help you with your relationships.
Whatever.
And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Bye-bye.